Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
When I'm looking for high-quality furniture that doesn't break the bank, I don't have to settle for subpar styles because I can find everything I need at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I can score everyday low prices on pieces that real customers love, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional, which has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So stock up on five-star style and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
Are you working? What kind of work do you do?
This is the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Touchdown, 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 Georgia.
Now here are your hosts, two-time All-American punter Drew Butler.
Drew Butler, leader in the country in punts 49+. See if he booms this one. He does. Wow.
And Rose Bowl, Sugar Bowl, and SEC championship winning quarterback Jake Fromm.
Lee Flicker to get the night started. Downfield looking for Godwin into his hands. And guess which dogs are barking first?
Now with the latest from around the SEC and the world of college football, it's the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Dogs are winners. A national championship for a new generation of Bulldogs.
Victory is mine. Yeah, surprisingly, I've been laying, waiting for your next mistake. I put in work and watch my status escalate.
Cornballs get welcome in.
The veteran running my plan. I'm the better man.
To the Punt and Pass Podcast, I'm your host, Drew Butler. Join alongside my co-host, Jake Fromm. Be sure to follow us on social media at Punt and Pass on X and Instagram. I'm at Drew Butler. He's at Fromm Jake, puntandpass.com. The number one destination for all things college football. Wrapping up a great Labor Day holiday weekend. It is a Monday night. Jake and I back in the fold, taking a look back on week one of college football. Of course, always looking forward to another week of the best sport in the world. Jake Fromm, how are you, my man?
Man, I'm doing great. Hey, it's Labor Day, but yes, we're working. All right. We came to work today. You know, and I'm doubling up, head ball today too.
Yeah.
I really don't call that work, man. It's having fun, but we're here today and we're going to bring you a great episode.
When did you get back to Detroit? You obviously got to come home, long weekend. Most NFL teams had the weekend off. You went back up to Detroit. You said you guys were in the facility today. Look, it's a game week and the Los Angeles Rams, notably former longtime Detroit Lion Matthew Stafford, coming back to Detroit. Season opener at Ford Field. Lots of hopes for the Detroit Lions this upcoming season. That's going to be a fun one this week.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one. Catch us on Sunday night at 8:20. So sweet. We got the primetime game. So yeah, going to be awesome. We're excited about it. But yeah, the long weekend coming home, trying to you know, wrap things up and figure things out. You know, I left pretty quick and abruptly. So had to go tie off some loose ends that I left there at the house and kind of packed up and I got in my truck and I drove 11 hours yesterday.
Oh, you drove?
Oh, yeah, baby.
I went
5 hours, stopped, gassed up, ate lunch, and then went 6 straight.
Where'd you stop at?
Somewhere in the great state of Kentucky, man. Great, great folks up there too. Man.
Okay.
Just nice people.
Wow.
Man, it was great. Stopped at the old McAllister's Deli up there, had me
a
little
good
sandwich
spot.
And rolled on.
Sweet tea, diet soda, would you go with for the drink?
No, so hey, I made this deal with my wife. I said, hey, look, the month of September, I'm going on a diet. No sweets. Ever since we had Luke, our 5-month-old son, I've like gained 5 pounds.
Obviously.
And just cannot shake it. It's just stuck.
Just wait till they grow up. Like now I've got 6 and 4, 1.5. And then you get into like the chicken fingers and the tater tots and the mac and cheese, like weekday, not every night, but like weekday. Gosh. You're in a hurry. And then they don't eat it all. So what does dad do? You just graze.
You
just eat.
That's
that
right.
Stuff.
I mean, the way we were raised, we have to finish it. Right. You know,
that's right.
That's what we do. So
that's right. Gosh, so you went full tilt boogie 11 hours on the road yesterday, north to Detroit.
Oh yeah.
Good.
Oh yeah.
You.
It was great. You know, yeah, turned on a church service, a couple podcasts.
Okay.
You know, made about 2-3 hours worth of phone calls. And man, all of a sudden you look up and you're like, dang, I'm in Toledo and I only got an hour left.
There you go. Toledo, yeah. Ohio. I was up at Inverness Club this past May. Great golf course. Mm. We need to get you down there for sure. I also see, if you're watching this on YouTube or if you see us on Reels or a clip on social media, Jake's got on a brand new punt and pass rope hat. That thing is sick. Shout out to Jake Farmer. Jake ordered one off our website at Punt and Pass. Jake had to mail these to me. Again, logistically, a little bit of a shaky start to this season's podcast, but we're about to get in the groove. Jake, as soon as they get to my house, I'll ship it out to you. We are all good to go. Always love everybody supporting the podcast. Thank you for watching. Thank you for subscribing on Apple, on Spotify, on YouTube. You guys are the best. If you want to continue to support us, shop over at Solomon Brothers Jewelers. That's right. This episode of Punt and Pass presented to you by our great partners over at Solomon Brothers Jewelers. And guess what? Jaron, a great Georgia Bulldog who runs Solomon Brothers Jewelers, he sweetened the deal this year for all Punt and Pass listeners. You get 20% off your jewelry purchase in store at Solomon's Brothers when you mention Punt and Pass. They have three awesome locations for you to go to if you are in Georgia or in the Atlanta area. Buckhead, of course, 17th floor Tower Place. It's immaculate. The scene and the showroom floor is absolutely incredible. Full service bar for the guys to go in there, get yourself a cocktail, let your significant other walk around. The staff will take care of them. You will be good to go. Alpharetta, North Metro suburbs, where I live, just past the Avalon. Been there many times. Shout out to my guy, Ken. Everybody inside Solomon Brothers is there to help you. And they have an extra location down south of the city as well. Brand new in Sharpsburg. Go check out Solomon Brothers Jewelers for all your jewelry, diamond, and timepiece needs. Mention Punt and Pass. You get 20% off your jewelry purchase in store. Check them out online, SolomonBrothers.com, at Solomon Brothers on X and Instagram. I love Solomon Brothers. It's gotten me out of many a bind, Jake. Mm. You know that, Jake. Jaron's been an awesome partner to us as well. You've been to the stores. Caroline's been to the stores. Jackie's been to the stores. Everybody listening, you need to go to Solomon Brothers if you have any jewelry needs. I promise you that. That is a Punt and Pass guarantee. All right, let's dive right into things. We'll keep it quick. Three and out, of course, wrapping up week one. We'll touch on the game. I was at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Georgia dominates Clemson 34-3. Florida gets smoked. Jake, you and I did not see that. Miami coming out hot 41-17 inside the Swamp, taking care of the Gators. LSU losing another tough one in week one. They lost last night, Sunday night, 27-20 to Southern Cal. I thought Southern Cal looked really good. And then Saturday night, the big game of the weekend, Notre Dame going into College Station, taking care of business, winning by 10, 23-13. However, we start with this. I woke up this morning. I'm like an apologetic DirecTV guy. Okay. My parents had DirecTV when I was growing up. As soon as I moved into my own house, I got DirecTV. Throughout the cord cutting, Jake, and everybody going to streaming, you know, I picked up a couple of streaming services, but I stuck true and loyal to DirecTV. And like this summer, Braves, can't get Braves on YouTube TV. Then Braves and Bally's had a big to-do with Comcast, so nobody in the Atlanta area on Comcast could get the Braves. I was sitting pretty with DirecTV and the Braves all summer long. I woke up this morning, Jake, DirecTV in a dispute with Disney. That means no ESPN. That means no sports. That means no football. That means no Sports Center. That means no College Game Day. That means no college football. But maybe even worse in my house, it means no Disney. No Disney for the girls at the house. This is a serious issue. It's blowing up all over social media, rightfully so. Tomorrow or late tonight, I'll call DirecTV, try to get my monthly bill chopped in half. But buddy, it's tough sledding right now. I don't know what to do. It's bad because, again, I'm a DirecTV apologist, and this is a bridge too far.
Gosh, I mean, that's just brutal. I mean, one for you, and then gosh, even more important than that for the girls. I mean, that is big time. I mean, I'm not in that season of life yet, but I can only fathom. I can only think about how brutal that is for you right now in the household. So, wish you the best on that. I can't believe that's how they repay you for your loyalty. You know, that sucks. I'm a big YouTube TV fan.
It's bullshit. You're exactly right. Yes, keep going. Yes,
I'm a big YouTube TV fan. Now I will say the one caveat here is, You don't get the Braves like you mentioned, which really kind of hurts. But other than that, man, on the go on my iPhone, on my iPad, you name it, I can get whatever I need wherever.
And you know, even worse, and I'm trying to confirm this right now, but like I'm obviously an ESPN Plus subscriber. I always use it for PGA Tour Live. You can use it when you're on the road and you know, you're checking out the games, whether you're on the go. But when you subscribe for ESPN Plus, you know, you have to put in who your cable provider is, and mine is DirecTV. So my ESPN Plus streaming isn't even working.
Oh, that's
it's not good. Maybe I'm messing that up. Hopefully a listener can tell me, but like I'm literally on my laptop right now. I'm showing it to you on our screen on YouTube. And like I'm trying to watch the Florida State Boston College game. It's not coming up.
Wow.
I'm just shit out of luck because I'm a DirecTV loyal customer. This is not okay. These carriage disputes, whatever the hell is going on with these telecommunications companies, figure it out, because loyal, hardworking Americans like myself are paying the price. That's,
you know what?
Not okay.
This is way big picture here. And I'm probably biting off a whole lot more than I can chew right now. But I think this is just the nature of society. They've stopped caring about the consumer.
Yeah.
And the producers of a good or service is just basically like, hey, this is what we're going to do. Either you like it or you don't. And there's no premium on customer service or, no. Hey, what are the customers going to think? What are the consumers going to think? And this is a bigger societal issue. And I don't like it. I want more Chick-fil-A's out there, if you know what I mean. I want that. And I think there should be a premium on it. Hey, and if you're out there and you can offer us that kind of product, you got a good paying customer right here.
Yeah, and I'll pay for it. I just want to be rewarded for my loyalty. So, and like the Delta thing, we won't even get into that.
Dude,
come on, man.
Come on. I got shafted on that.
Did you really?
Yes.
Wow.
Dude.
Wow. Yes. Tell me.
I had my tryout in Green Bay.
And you got stuck?
Oh, yeah. I was flying from Green Bay to Detroit, which is actually bizarre how everything works out. But I got stuck in Detroit. I had a connector coming back to Atlanta. It was supposed to take off at 7 p.m. And there was that day the whole world, you know,
yes,
the airline
right.
shut down. And,
yes.
and it, you know, bumped to 8:30, bumped to 9:30, bumped to 11. All of a sudden, we board a plane at midnight, 12 p.m., and we sit on that plane for one whole hour.
Ooh.
It is 1 a.m. And they're like, hey, guys, we can't go.
Plane.
Yeah. Pilot's not here. And so we get off, we get in line, try to figure out, hey, what are you going to do? The best they could give me was, hey, you can stand by tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. And after that, we cannot guarantee you a flight until Monday morning. And it was Friday going to Saturday morning.
Yeah, that's not ideal. I feel for you. My wife and our two oldest daughters were stuck in Seattle. They were supposed to take off on a Monday afternoon. They were at the gate and they did not get home until Thursday around midnight. So they're stuck in Seattle for an entire week. All right,
crazy.
Moving on. That's
moving
good
on,
stuff.
Moving on.
Come on, just take care of your customers.
We had to get out the poor me's there, and yes. we're on. We're ready.
Yes, and look, I'm trying to watch this game. I can't watch the game. No ESPN, no Disney. It's not good. I'll call DirecTV tomorrow, and of course, we will update this developing storyline on Thursday's episode of Punt and Pass. Second piece of news that I have to touch on, and to me, it's just baffling. It really is. Kirk Herbstreit, who, look, everybody loves Kirk Herbstreit. Did he have a little issue with the Florida State fans towards the end of last year? Yes. Was it maybe unwarranted? You could easily make that conversation and certainly make that argument. If you're a Florida State fan, you probably don't like Kirk Herbstreit. Whatever. It is what it is. But his dog, I've talked about the dog on podcasts past, seasons prior. His dog was in the booth with him last night, in the booth, in the broadcasting booth. His giant, beautiful, handsome golden retriever or Labrador, whatever it is. Jake, am I showing my age? I don't know. Look, I love dogs. Who doesn't love dogs? This is not about do you love dogs or do you not love dogs. This is simply about professionalism. More so. Kirk Herbstreit right now, it's 8:15 on a Monday night. We're recording this podcast. Right this minute, he is arguing back and forth on Twitter with people who are saying, dude, what's with the dog? Like, he's actively arguing on Twitter saying goodbye, blocking people. You don't understand. I guess the dog's been sick. He had a couple of procedures. Look, I understand it. We've all lost dogs. We all love dogs. I get that. to have your dog in the broadcasting booth. Granted, you are one of the greatest color analysts and broadcasters of our time, undoubtedly. Everybody loves Kirk Herbstreit. Am I wrong for saying enough with the dog?
No, I think you handled that very well. And I want to, you know, state my where I stand first. I love dogs and I love the dogs.
Who doesn't?
Okay? I got no issue with dogs in their right place. But to me, it's just there's no, like, I can't bring my dog to, I don't have a dog, but I can't bring my parents' dog to the quarterback meetings, you know, not to walkthroughs. I can't bring it's a little much for me. And then if we're blocking people on X, because of a conversation going back and forth about whether or not your dog should be with you as you do your job, I think we're talking about the wrong things here.
So he just retweeted somebody. We love Ben so much, dude. He's an essential part of college football now. This is somebody tweeting to Herbstreit, like, we love your dog. So, of course, he retweets it and gives him the fist pump emoji. My wife and I watched the game, and Ben was our favorite part. Somebody tweeted that to Kirk. He retweeted it, and he says, thanks, Steve. I appreciate it. So now he's, like, farming for approval, having his dog in the booth with him.
Okay, you do it once. So, you know, people are going to see that, and they're going to want, you know, Kirk to reply back as well. I love that take of farming for replies here.
So somebody asked, what led you to deciding to bring Ben, again, the dog, along for the ride? And Herbstreit says, he's my best friend. I love him like a family member because he is. Okay. I mean, I don't bring my 6-year-old daughter to work.
Well, that's as soon as you said that, that's where my mind went. I'm like, maybe I should bring my kid to work too.
Look, God bless Kirk. I mean, I'm a big fan.
Yeah, I love Kirk, man. I love Kirk, man. He's great. You know, many multiple times. Love him. He's been nothing.
The dog storyline has just jumped the shark. I mean, last year, Fowler and Herbstreit did the primetime game in Athens, Ole Miss against Georgia. It was like a top 10 matchup. And the freaking dog is walking on the field 5 minutes before kickoff. I'm like, that's interesting. I have it on pretty good authority as well that the dog, and remember, Herbstreit does Thursday night games for Amazon Prime.
Yep.
I have it on pretty good authority that the dog took a shit in the San Francisco 49ers locker room pregame. When did a Niners game on a Thursday night. I mean, crazy. Enough, dude. Enough. Herbie, I love you. We all love dogs. Enough.
Help us help you here. You know?
Yeah, man. Whoa. All right. Maybe I'm way off base. I'm really looking forward to hearing some feedback there. Hit us up on social media at Drew Butler, at From Jake, at Punt and Pass. Let us know your thoughts. Like, when you watch the game and you see the dog, are you like, oh, that's awesome? I don't know. Herbie, we love you. Keep it going, I guess. Whatever.
I guess.
Last storyline before we break down what happened in week one. How about the SEC kind of taking it on the chin in some of these premier non-conference games to open up the season? Jake, you and I were dead wrong on the Florida game. I thought Florida would show a fight inside the swamp, interstate rivalry, Miami coming in. Yes, everybody talking about how tough the Gator schedule was to be. They get schlacked 41-17. LSU on Sunday night, neutral site in Las Vegas. Brian Kelly, LSU had lost 4 straight season openers in the last 4 seasons. They lose against Southern Cal in Las Vegas. And then Saturday night, the big game where College Game Day was, Texas A&M hosting Notre Dame. Notre Dame, look, top 10 team in the country. Texas A&M, new head coach. They lose at home as well. So 3 big time programs losing in week one in the SEC. Across the league, a bunch of teams scored 60 plus. How about Vanderbilt? Shout out the Commodores. Yeah. They knocked off Virginia Tech at home. Virginia Tech was supposedly a dark horse in the ACC. Of course, they can still go on and do that. But an interesting development as the season kicks off with these 3 teams. A lot of people had high hope for A&M, LSU. Of course, Florida's their own story, but dropping these week one games.
Yeah, I mean, they just put themselves in a very tough position moving forward. You know, I know there's a 12-team playoff now, but just the gauntlet in the SEC right now with the addition of Oklahoma and the addition of Texas, like, it's going to be tough.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and you have to at least think that, hey, I have to win out from here on out. If I stand a chance, no more than 2 losses here, This is just going to be tough sledding for those teams moving forward. I feel like, you know, how it opened up was the SEC was the battle of the extremes. You know, you either played a tough matchup and lost, or you played a nobody and you ran them out of the building. So,
yeah.
And I think Georgia's somewhere in the middle of that. We can kind of get into that. But to me, that was the two extremes there. And it's good to see, you know, to pick one up with Vanderbilt there and beat, you know, what everybody thinks is a good Virginia Tech team.
No doubt. And that was a crazy instance how they got the ball and in the field goal range. And that field goal kicker absolutely drilled that field goal to ice the game for Vanderbilt. So a big win for them. Look, Texas A&M, I said it on last week's episode. I was like, you know, the Mike Elko thing, he's a great coach. There's no doubt about it. First game at home. I just thought that was a little bit of a tough situation. Love Marcus Freeman heading into his third year. I really like Marcus Freeman. That's kind of tough for me because I don't like Notre Dame, but I'm a big Marcus Freeman fan, and it seems like Riley Leonard could be the right quarterback for them. Really impressive to know that their five offensive linemen all had their first start on Saturday night, which is extremely impressive. Texas A&M has a good defensive line. Elko, of course, a defensive coach, but Notre Dame gets a big game. Their schedule is a joke for the rest of the season. It's crazy what they will do, just cakewalking. I think their hardest game is their last game of the season against Southern Cal, if I have that correctly.
Yep.
And then Florida. Look, I don't know what's going to happen. Do you bench Mertz? Do you just throw DJ Lagway in there? Napier sitting there going like, you know, we got a long season ahead of us. So something to watch there. But the other teams that scored a bunch of points, Ole Miss did. Tennessee looked really good. Alabama looked really good. I don't know if like, Western Kentucky's looked awful, like Alabama. Alabama looked damn good.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. Good. I remember watching the stat line there, and Jalen Milroe's stats came up at the bottom of the screen. At one point, he was 3 of 4 for 100 something yards with 2 touchdowns and a rushing touchdown. You're like, how this is video game numbers right now. How is this possible?
It was video game numbers. Yes. And I was watching, and I don't know how bad Western Kentucky's defense is. Maybe Kalen DeBoer was scheming up good stuff, but these dudes were wide open. I mean, I could have thrown for 2 touchdown passes on Saturday night.
Gosh. And then they have a 17-year-old kid over here, just balling, receiver for Alabama. Young kid.
Yes.
He forewent his senior year of high school, and he's out there and scored 2 touchdowns with 100 something yards. And, what I noticed from college football this weekend, especially, is there were some skill guys out there making plays. You know, I saw it in this, LSU USC game, saw it in the, obviously the Clemson Georgia game, saw it in the Alabama game. And then Jackson Dart put up video game numbers. You know, it was against Furman, but you know, Ole Miss looks like they're going to be something serious too. So there's a lot to see. There's still, you know, what's an overreaction? What's an underreaction? It's still a lot yet to be determined. But man, it's going to be fun to watch in the weeks to come.
Yeah, that receiver for Bam, I believe it's Ryan Williams, true freshman from Mobile, 17 years old. That's impressive. And then number 2, Lacey for LSU, the guy you're talking about.
Yes.
They were going to him early and often. So lots of talent, as
and
expected.
And the catch that the USC receiver made, I don't know if you saw that or not.
If you
know what I'm talking about, there is a high school clip of AJ Green catching a one-handed catch kind of over his head, very Odell-like. And if you know it, if you've seen it,
yes,
that's great. Let us
Somerville
know.
High school. For right.
But yep. but that reminded me of that catch, that USC receiver. So out of the blue, I remember I'm sitting there eating like, wow, there's no way he just made that play.
Yeah, and then the receiver for USC, I was thinking about a different one, but late in the fourth quarter, I mean, he was running down the sideline. It was a great kind of space beater by Miller Moss, the quarterback, to chuck it in there. And he made a hell of a one-handed catch, contested. Crazy. I mean, there's some really good football over the weekend. I wish I could be watching the Florida State-Boston College game right now, but again, I can't because I have DirecTV, so that's that. Hey, how about week 2? Let's do the Solomon Brothers Big Watch of the Week. This weekend, we got a big top 10 matchup. It's where College Game Day is heading. It is Texas, the 4th-ranked Texas Longhorns, heading up north to take on the 9th-ranked Michigan Wolverines in Ann Arbor. This game is at noon on Fox. Again, those Fox big noon kickoff games, usually ESPN and College Game Day, don't really like to migrate over and showcase games that aren't going to be on their networks. Sounds like I might not be able to watch it anyway. Oh, wait, I can't because this one's on Fox. Sweet. I won't be able to watch game day. Yep. College game day heading up there. I thought Coach Saban did a great job on college game day this past weekend as well. But that is your Solomon Brothers big watch of the week for week two. It's number 4 Texas at number 9 Michigan. Head on over to Solomon Brothers Jewelers. There's 3 locations for you. One's in Buckhead, one's in Alpharetta, one's in Sharpsburg. South of the city, you get 20% off your jewelry purchase in store when you mention Punt and Pass. Amazing selection, the best customer service, the only jewelry store you need in Atlanta for all of your jewelry, diamond, and time piece needs. Shout out Solomon Brothers at Solomon Brothers on social media, SolomonBrothers.com. Okay, wrapping things up. Back half of this pod, let's talk about the games. Georgia against Clemson. I was inside the building, the number one dogs taking on the 14th-ranked Clemson Tigers, Aflac kickoff game. 6-0 at halftime. Clemson hung in there. I thought it was a little bit of a conservative start by Georgia running the ball. No Trevor Etienne. I was wrong there. I thought Trevor would play. We were right on Nasty Nate Frazier. That little dude is a baller, true freshman, baller. 5-star out of California. And then you kind of saw, I think, Jake, tell me what you saw. You saw Coach Bobo get into the locker room at halftime with Carson Beck. And I think they had a man-to-man conversation of what do you want to do? And they were able to kind of start running the ball a little bit more. Then they started opening it up. I love those crossing routes where you're just getting guys and some of those zone beaters, but also trusting your guys in the man situations as well. London Humphreys looked great. Loved Colby Young getting active in the red zone. Georgia's defense was really solid. They just absolutely squashed Clemson in that second half, and the Dogs get off to a great start, 34-3, Jake.
Yeah, man, that's a great breakdown, great rundown. I'm going to kind of take you through some notes that I made through the game. And I'll try to take you through these very, very quickly. Obviously, slow start for both teams, 6-0 at halftime.
Yeah.
You know, not ideal for the offenses there. Awful start by Clemson. I mean, it was a illegal motion, a missed 5-yard pass. I mean, it was just in a drop pass. It was terrible. Both teams shot themselves in the foot in the first half. And we finally saw Georgia's offense with Carson push the ball down the field a little bit. Like 6 minutes left to go in the second quarter. Like he had yet thrown a vertical ball really until that mark. And I felt like I was watching Bo Nix at Auburn. You know, a lot of this perimeter left and right stuff, getting the ball out on the edge. Whether it was just kind of get the flow of the game, whether
is that because it's week one?
You know, I don't know. I mean, you know, were they worried about that's something that usually you do when you're worried about an opposing defensive line to get those guys tired. They weren't running the ball very well at all in the first half. You know, I think that's a mix, between the offensive line. I don't think it was all Branson and then Nate comes in and tears it up. I think it's a little bit of mix of both there. But you definitely can say when Nate was in there in the second half, he started getting some chunks, breaking some tackles and moving forward. I really didn't think until the second half, like you said, like, hey, what are we doing? We have Carson back. We have one of the best quarterbacks in the country. Like let's push the ball down the field. And they finally started doing that, and get going. They did a great job of scoring late in the third quarter. And then they get a great 3-and-out by Jalen Walker's 2 TFLs, right in a row on second down and third down. Fantastic. But what you want to see from a veteran quarterback and hopefully a veteran offense is as they move, throughout this season, you had a great opportunity there late in the game to put it away, to stick the dagger in them. And they didn't, went 3-and-out. And you just, you don't want to do that as a quarterback. You can't do that as an offense when your defense is playing so well, man. Go down the field and let's finish this thing. Let's ice this thing out and move on. And that was kind of the late third quarter, right? The beginning of the fourth quarter. And I want to see some improvement from that moving forward.
No question. Sounds like Georgia's Mykael Williams is a grade 2 ankle sprain. Dylan Bell, who I call Debo Samuel-esque.
Debo Bell.
He was dealing with some cramps as well. That screwed up my Prize Picks entry. Sorry to everybody who tailed. We'll get back to it in week two, no question about it. Carson Beck was named the SEC co-offensive player of the week. Peyton Woodring, Georgia's kicker, was named co-special teams player of the week. He had that 55-yarder right before halftime. He blasted that ball, just got inside that left upright. Hey, no pictures on the scoreboard, so great kick for him. That's his career long, and one of the longer kicks that Georgia's made in the past couple of years, and those are just big momentum changers. I mean, you go into halftime up 6-0. Keep in mind, you missed that 55-yarder. That's a turnover. Clemson's getting the ball at midfield. They can go down and score. Now you're down 7-3 going into halftime. So those are big kicks. I mean, look, I know I'm biased because I'm a specialist, but that was a big-time kick for Peyton Woodring heading into this season. He got a great start to the season in Georgia's defense. I mean, Malachi Starks,
you beat me to it. I was hoping that you
that was so
you
wouldn't sick.
Mention it because I wanted to say it. I forgot I left it off my notes. But what an unbelievable play! Like that was a well thrown ball.
And he
just goes up and makes that play. I mean, that is a NFL caliber play, and not only NFL caliber play. I mean, that's as high a level play as you can get.
Really is. And, you know, I always notice when I get back and I watch the TV copy, like Greg McElroy, who was, of course, a national champion. He's been an analyst and a color analyst for ESPN and SEC Network for years. I mean, he was raving about Nate Frazier. He's like, dude, this looks like DeAndre Swift. Look at how he cuts, his explosiveness, his size, his shiftiness. Like, he was raving about Nate Frazier. Could not believe he was a freshman. And then when Malachi makes that interception, he's like, guys, this guy's a bona fide All-American. He's one of the best in the country. Look at how he played this ball. This is an incredible play. So it's cool to hear kind of those dudes give a lot of love when you see plays made like they did throughout that Georgia-Clemson game. And Dabo, I mean, taking the heat, and rightfully so. You want to know a statistic that I saw today that just made me shake my head? Everybody knows he doesn't take transfers. Everybody knows it's either adapt or die. Dabo is kind of letting the game pass him by. Four teams in 2024, four college football teams in FBS this season did not add a transfer. Clemson, Army, Navy, and Air Force.
Wow.
Clemson and the service academies are the only schools that did not add a transfer in the transfer portal. For a school like Clemson, it is imperative that they do this, because every other school that they are competing for to make it to the college football playoff and to make it to a national championship, or just for them to an ACC championship, you have to add. Guys would want to go to Clemson. Like, just the recent history that they've had, it's shocking to me, and I can't get over the reasons why he won't do it. But it's going to hurt him in the long run. He is the guy that brought Clemson kind of out of the dust, so to speak, two national championships, a dynasty by any stretch of the imagination. And yes, college football has changed drastically, and he is just sitting there doing things the exact same way. And it's shocking to me. Roddy White, former Atlanta Falcons wide receiver, he certainly made some news by tweeting out that Clemson has too many white guys on the field. You know, I'd make the argument that Georgia had plenty of white guys on the field too. It's just insane. Here's what it comes down to. Clemson just doesn't have the dudes. Cade Klubnik, not a dude. I'm sorry. He's not a guy that's going to take this football team, take over a game. He doesn't have the arm strength of Carson Beck. He doesn't have the intangibles of Carson Beck. He does not have the athleticism of a Cam Ward down at Miami. He's not a dude. Like, if I'm an NFL scout and I'm watching Cade Klubnik, God bless him, I'm like, this guy's not going to play in the NFL. He doesn't make the throws, okay? I've not seen him in person, Jake, take over a football game, be like, that is a starting quarterback who can take a team deep into the college football playoffs. So, I don't know. I think it's just a lack of talent is what it comes down to.
I think
it's not about race. It's not about anything else. It's just about not having the dudes, the depth, the recruits, the experience. And Clemson could be in for another long season this year. You never know.
I think you're going to be so surprised from this take from me, but I'm not worried about Clemson football at all.
Really?
I think they will actually do very well this year. When I saw Cade Klubnik play, I'm like, in the first quarter, that's an NFL throw. He threw a corner route to the boundary. I'm like, dude, that's a great throw. I saw him throw a field quick out. I'm like, okay, there you go. That's an NFL throw. I like there were things from that game. They gave up 6 points to the potential number one overall draft pick quarterback.
Yes.
Their defense.
Yeah,
defense
no touchdowns. Game. Correct. In two touchdowns. Quarters. Yes. Held in him out of the end. They didn't really even get close, did they?
No.
Yeah.
The defense played well. And I think their offense is figuring things out like everybody's offense is, except for Ole Miss's and Alabama's. But everybody else is still kind of this figure it out boat. But I'm actually not worried about Clemson football at all this year. I think they're going to do very well. And I think them getting their butts absolutely kicked in the second half of this first football game kind of lights a fire under them. And I think Dabo's feeling the heat a little bit. Like,
for sure.
If it was a close one and came down the wire, okay, hey, that's one thing. But, you know, hey, to get run out of the stadium in the second half, that's different. But to me, they showed some potential. And yeah. I'm actually very intrigued to see how this football team responds. And I think they will do very well and may even sneak in to the college football playoff.
All right, there's 12 teams this year. Thank you for calling me out. I appreciate that take because now I'm going to watch even more of a keen eye on Cade Klubnik. I forget who they play in week two, but their schedule is not that tough either. I mean, the only other game they were an underdog in preseason was at Florida State. And Jake, developing situation right now is it's 8:35 p.m. on a Monday night. Florida State's down 14-0 to Boston College right now. No way. There's 7 minutes and 45 seconds left in the second quarter. So Mike Norvell, the boys down in Tallahassee, that game is in Tallahassee as well. That's not a good situation there. Ohio State wins 52-6. That's obvious. They played Akron. Like we said, Alabama wins 63-0 against Western Kentucky. Jalen Milroe, 200 yards, 3 touchdowns. Justice Haynes, 4 carries, 102 yards, 1 touchdown. Ryan Williams, 2 catches, 139 yards, 2 touchdowns. Like I said, no defense, Western Kentucky. But I did like how Kalen DeBoer had his debut in Tuscaloosa. Ole Miss, ho-hum, 76-0 against Furman. Jackson Dart, 418 yards and 5 touchdowns. That Notre Dame-Texas A&M game was a really, really good one as well. And then who else I wanted to touch on was Tennessee, 69-3. Polynesian Peyton, Nico Iamaleava. I always forget how to pronounce his name.
Gosh, I heard it. I wanted to pronounce it. I was asking Hendon Hooker all day long. I'm like, dude, how do you say his last name? He's like, I don't know, man. Good luck.
I got it right here. Hold on. I do just like my buddy Tony Morelli, who's a huge Tennessee fan. He says they all just call him Polynesian Peyton. So Polynesian I'm gonna stick Peyton. With that probably. Okay.
All right, yeah. That's pretty good. Hey, I forgot to mention as well, you know, we were talking about skill guys earlier and just receivers making freaky plays. How about the Ohio State receiver, Jeremiah Smith? I hope that's correct.
Yes.
Baller.
True freshman.
Baller as well. You know, but Ohio State had a very slow start as well. And I know the score doesn't necessarily show that, but it was kind of mid-late into the second quarter before they started figuring things out as well.
Yes. Nico Iamaleava.
Iamaleava.
There you go. That is how you pronounce Polynesian Peyton's last name, Nico Iamaleava. So he had a big one. Tennessee, 69 points. Nico had 314 yards and 3 touchdowns. So Florida, you know, LSU, Texas A&M, tough for the SEC, but some other teams certainly get it going. And we look towards week two. So Georgia's going to host Tennessee Tech. And then they go to Kentucky against Brock Vandergrift the week after. So that will be an interesting game as well. Wrapping things up. Anything we forgot, bud?
Dude, I got a question for you.
Yeah,
who please. Is your Heisman front runner after week one?
I mean, Shador. We didn't even mention Shador. I don't know what Colorado's going to look like, but Shador was doing crazy stuff on Thursday night. He finished with a boatload of yards and touchdowns. Travis Hunter is a stud.
He's
made
dude.
Some crazy plays. I haven't even checked like the actual betting markets to see what the movement was. It's too early. I mean, you're totally okay. right. But when you're talking about,
I just wanted a big overreaction. Like mine right now is Jackson Dart and Ole Miss.
Really?
Yeah. Like, hey, you know what? Why not? I mean, what's Kiffin got to lose? Like, let's just
game numbers.
Yeah. Which and you're exactly right with Shador and Travis Hunter.
445 and 4 touchdowns for Shador.
That's a pretty good start. Jackson had 480 with five touchdowns.
Yeah.
But literally that is the plan right now for Colorado, because they're not going to be in the college football playoff.
Yeah, you have to chuck it around, no doubt.
Like that, that's it. Like
the only overreaction be not a quarterback. It will 100% be a quarterback as your Heisman winner.
Unless Travis Hunter just goes absolutely stupid on both sides of the ball. I mean, right. I could see them wanting to maybe if you know, it's a very average quarterback, you know, kind of season. And he has, you know, five or six interceptions and throws up crazy receiver yards. Yeah, sure. I think they'll definitely, because they'll want to do something different. Everybody wants
for sure
the new shiny thing, right? So I could definitely see that.
There you go. It'd be a pretty good week, too. Texas at Michigan, as we mentioned. Arkansas goes to Stillwater to take on 17th-ranked Oklahoma State. Cal, the mighty Cal Bears of the ACC, they head down to the Plains to take on Auburn. South Carolina at Kentucky. That will be a good game that you're going to want to watch. That's 3:30 p.m. on ABC. What you got, Jake?
I got last two
and
thoughts
Tennessee,
here.
Tennessee, NC State. That's going to be a good game.
Last two thoughts here. Oregon snuck by.
Yes.
Almost lost.
Yes.
That was crazy. And then that's another guy too, Dylan Gabriel. Like he went 41, 42 of 49, like just chucking the ball around. And then the running back for Boise State. So I'm watching Boise. So after the Georgia game, I'm watching Boise State versus Georgia Southern, watching my brother play a little bit. And this Boise State running back has over 200 yards and six touchdowns. He runs this last touchdown. It's an 80-yard inside zone play. He takes to the house and like full body cramps, extending the ball into the end zone. So I know it was hot down there.
In 20 Statesboro. Carries, 267 yards and six touchdowns.
Hey, that's a dark horse right there, man.
Yeah, you're damn right. That's not a dark horse. He's in the front of the pack after that game.
For sure. For sure. So that was crazy to watch. You know, that all that go on.
Yes, no question about it. College football's back, man. Tyler Fromm, two catches, 26 yards.
Yeah, man. They had a nice little designed flea flicker tight end screen to him, which is pretty nice. Cool. Caught a little basic route on drive concept as well. So yeah, man.
Love
trying
it.
Trying to do it, trying to catch
love
balls.
It. Love it. Well, hey, that's your week one recap of Punt and Pass. Again, season 8 of Punt and Pass. Follow us on social media at Punt and Pass on X and Instagram. We got a new intern in the fold as well. James Boyle, I think is his name. Let me confirm. Shout out to James. Talked to him on the phone. He was working on a Labor Day as well. Yeah, that is his name. James
Love the
Boyle.
Confirmation. Nice.
Yes, I had to check. I got to give him a proper shout out. So yeah. Give us some love on social media. He'll be taking over those. Throughout the remainder of the season, we will have a ton of fun. He's at From Jake. I'm at Drew Butler. Be sure to show love to Solomon Brothers Jewelers. That's right. This episode of Punt and Pass was presented to you by Solomon Brothers Jewelers. Three amazing locations for you and your significant other to check out. 17th floor Tower Place in Buckhead. Alpharetta just past the Avalon. And a brand spanking new location south of the city in Sharpsburg. When you go into the store and you mention Punt and Pass, Jaron Solomon will give you 20% off your jewelry purchase. 20% off your jewelry purchase. Why would you go anywhere else? Solomon Brothers has amazing selection, the best customer service, an in-store experience that is simply unmatched. It's the only jewelry store you need in Atlanta for all of your jewelry, diamond, and timepiece needs. SolomonBrothers.com, at Solomon Brothers on Instagram and X. Jake, thanks so much, my man. Hope everybody had an awesome Labor Day, and we will talk to you on Thursday. See ya.
Yep.